All right, we've been going through the book of Joshua. Good morning, Juan. Josh, good to see you. We've been going through the book of Joshua. We're on chapter 7. You have your Bibles. Go ahead and turn to Joshua chapter 7. If you miss a lesson here and there, it is on our website. And like I said, you can also download our church app. Grab one of these cards on your way in and out. Just scan that QR code. You can download the app. You can watch all of our sermons and all of our events. Everything that we do, it's on that app. So go ahead and download that. But Joshua chapter 7, keep in mind, this is the beginning of the establishment of the nation of Israel. Okay? To make a long story short, Jacob had 12 sons. His name was changed from Jacob to Israel. That's where you get the nation of Israel, just so you know. If you didn't know that already, now you do. Jacob had 12 sons, but he favored who? You know this. Joseph, right? So the brothers sold Joseph into Egypt and lied to his father that he was eaten by wild animals. So during the time that Joseph was in Egypt, he rose in ranks and famine hits the land. So Jacob sent the other sons into Egypt to find food, and they ran into Joseph, and there was forgiveness. There's some crying. There's some reconnection with families, and the whole family ended up staying in Egypt. And after Joseph passed away, a new pharaoh came into power, didn't really care about the Hebrew people. At this time, they're still called the Hebrew people. They're not called the nation of Israel yet. So Pharaoh didn't like the Hebrew people because they were not Egyptians, so he began to enslave them, work them really, really hard. They probably built a couple of pyramids. During that time, Moses came along. Remember, Moses leaving Egypt, he made a huge call and says, let what? Let my people go. A couple of sermons ago, Whitney Houston and what's her name came out and saying, forget it, okay? I say that joke every time and it's not funny. Like, I should just stop that, right, Audrey? Just stop the jokes. It's not funny. It's not funny. Forget it. During the time them leaving Egypt, God showed complete power over his creation. All the plagues, what's God showing, I am in control. There's nothing on this earth that you made up. It's going to overcome me. That's the whole idea. Okay? So as they're leaving Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea, they went into the wilderness, God was in charge of his creation, charge was in charge of the weather, charge was in charge of the sun, the moon, the charge was in charge of when they crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Everything leading up to this point was about trusting God and being obedient. Everything lead up to this point. God gave them specific instructions as they're getting ready to cross into the walls of Jericho. As you saw last week, Caleb was marching around on the seven times. Shout out, a loud shout, and the walls would break down. There's nothing they had to do except believe and be obedient to God. And he will do the rest of the work. So before they enter into Jericho, this is his specific instruction to them. Joshua chapter 6, verse 17. The city, all that is in it, are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who were with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. Here's the instruction. Keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into the treasury. The instruction is pretty simple. Here's what God is telling them. As you cross into the land, there's going to be a lot of possessions that you're going to want. There's going to be gold, the riches of Babylon that left behind. Don't take any of it. Leave everything the way it is. Put it in the treasury. It belongs to me. Do not take anything. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. You came with nothing. You will take nothing. Pretty simple, right? The instruction God gave them is pretty simple. And before this point, he says, don't look right, don't look left. Be strong and courageous. Do not listen to the people of the land. Pretty simple. You know, last week I asked you a very simple question. Why doesn't God just wave his hand and make everything okay? Right? He's God. I mean, he's all knowing. He's all powerful. He knows it all and does it all. Why didn't he just wave his hand, make everything perfect and go away? Well, this is the problem. There's always that one guy. You know, he does. God, the garden was perfect. And there's always that one guy. Oh, eat the fruit. Right? He made everything so perfectly clear. And there is always that one guy. Oh, you know, that one guy. You guys know that one guy in your circles who always ruined the plans for everybody? There's one guy in every family, right? How many of you guys have that one guy in your family? Yeah, not you. You're not that guy. But there's always that one guy, right? You always have that one relative that somehow made themselves available when one of your loved ones passed away and left a lot of money. You're getting phone calls. Yeah, I didn't know we were relatives. All of a sudden, you show up. There's always that one guy. When I was young and immature, I would stand in line on Black Fridays. It was like one of the things I liked to do. Like Black Fridays. I was young, immature. So Black Friday comes along. Right after the late lunch or brunch, I would go to BrandsMart beginning at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and I would sit there and camp out. I want to make sure I'm the first like 30 people in line, right? So last year, well, no, like a long time ago. I'm mature now. So last year, BrandsMart, you know, go in line at BrandsMart. And I want to make sure I'm always the first 20 to 30 people. Because that's where the deals are, right? The TVs, right? They sell these big old cheap TV for like $100 less. So, but if you think about it economically, it doesn't make sense. There's no profit in that. Because if I stand in line from 3 p.m., to 1 a.m., how many hours is that? Roughly 8 hours, right? To save $50 to $100 on the TV, it's not a good return on investment. That means I'm making like, you know, $5 an hour. Right? So that's terrible. Like, I'm an adult. I'm mature. I make some money. So why even bother doing that? I do it for fun. I do it every year. Okay? But this one particular year, things got a little out of control. So BrandsMart hire a cop to be in line. Right? There's always the one guy that ruins it, right? For some reason, from 3 p.m. to 12:30, the line is nice and neat. Everyone's standing. Everyone's hanging out, having their chairs. But from 12:30 to 1, it's like a mosh pit. All of a sudden, everybody rushed to the front, and now everyone has been in line as if they were there the whole time. There's this one lady who came and stood next to me, very uncomfortable. At roughly 12:30, she came and stood next to me. I have no idea who she was, right? I know I've been in line this whole time. I've done it every year. Every year I've done this. So I was there the whole time. All of a sudden, this lady came standing next to me at 12:30. You know, fear comes to mind. What do I do? What do I say? She's going to get my deal. She's going to get my TV instead. And me, like, what if she comes in before me and that was the last TV? Now I'm not going to get it. She probably thinking, you know, me, Asian, doesn't speak English, so I probably wouldn't say anything. I kid you, all these thoughts go through my head, right? Boy, was she wrong, right? She stood there. Me, this is my line. Here. She hasn't been here this whole time. She's cutting in line. She hasn't been here this whole time. So the cop came and, you know, kind of like verify with everybody in line. Is this true? Is this what he's saying is true? Yeah, it's true. She's just came here. Not the whole, you know, not been in line. There's always that one guy that ruins for everybody, right? They have to hire a cop because of that guy. Well, the Israelites has this one guy. This is the guy that ruins it for the nation of Israel. His name is Achan, Joshua chapter 7. I'm studying this week. Some of you guys might have saw me on Facebook. Come on, Achan. You ruin it for everybody. This is what happened. They're going into the land. I'm going to tell you from verse 1 to verse 16, and then I'll read it the rest. They're getting ready to go. They went into the land. They're getting ready to take over Ai, which is we can pronounce as I or Ai. But they lost. They lost the battle to Ai. And Joshua has no idea why. And God summoned Joshua and says, check your camp. Ask Achan what happened. So this is where we pick up Joshua chapter 7, verse 16. Early in the morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by the tribes, and Judah was chosen. The clans of Judah came forward, and the Zerahites were chosen. He had the clan of Zerahites come forward by families, and Zimri was chosen. And Joshua, his family come forward, man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of tribe of Judah, was chosen. It's very specific, like who committed the sin. Then Joshua, and verse 19, then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give the glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide from me. Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And they are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with the Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the rope, the gold bars, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, sheep, and his tents, and all he had, to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then all Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan, they heap up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. Don't be that guy. You would think the first sin that they're committing once they enter into this promised land was drunkenness or sexual immoralities or murder or anything like that. It wasn't. And a lot of times churches or Christians or Christianity in general, we hang these huge banner of sexual immorality sins or drunkenness or murder. These obvious ones that all of us don't really commit. Like most people don't really commit murder, right? If you have, don't come near me. If you're here in church, I mean, the truth is, well, a lot of us don't. But churches like to spread these banners out really, really, really big, like sexual immoralities and drunkenness and murders. But the very sin that they first committed was what? Coveting wealth. The first sin that man ever committed in the Garden of Eden was coveting for more, for wealth. Jesus talked about more about wealth and the love of money than any other subject why he was here on earth. I know, you brought some friends today. And we're talking about money in church. We don't talk about money in church very often, guys, just so you know. Okay, if you're first time visiting with us today and you're not a Christian, talk among yourself. I'm going to talk to our church people today about coveting wealth, okay? I know, like we're talking about money today. It can get a little uncomfortable, okay? The first sin they ever committed going into Jericho was about wanting more money, wanting more wealth. What can I have? What can I get? And because of coveting wealth, it causes Israel to lose some of the men in battle to Ai. The Bible says they lost a battle because Achan took some money. It causes God to bring judgment to Israel. And Achan's family was punished. Proverbs 15:27 says, a greedy man brings trouble to his family. A greedy man brings trouble to his family. Wealth in the scripture and wealth today and always has always been the number one competitor for God. Wealth has always always been and always will be the number one competitor for God. Wealth is the reason the Ukrainian people are running away from their home because of wealth. And I'm not a very political guy. You know that. I don't bring politics into the pulpit a lot. But when it comes to money, there are economic pressures and economic deals that we don't know about that drives this nation and the nations around the world to go against each other. It's all because of wealth. Wealth was one of the reasons Satan tempted Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory. It has been delivered to me and I'll give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours. Satan's very good with words. He says, look, everything I have, it has been given to me. I own everything. I own this world. I'm in charge of this world. And Jesus, if you just give up your mission and worship me, I will give you everything. Money is one of the top causes of divorce. Money is one of the top causes of broken relationships. Money is the reason why you see distant relatives suddenly materialize when there's money left behind from a dead one. Several years ago, a young man needed money. And I do this a lot, working with kids, working in church. There's always people who needs money. So he asked me to borrow some money or some money, and I know I don't get it back, so I let him borrow money, but I made him work for it. And I've done this all the time. I've done this to this young man plenty of times. This one particular day, he done some work at my house. And I went out to pay him, and I was $5 short. $5 short. He reached his hand back and getting ready to punch me because I was $5 short. Needless to say, I never see him again, and nor do I ever pick up the phone again when he called, when he needed money. The $5 I was going to give him anyway. But he was willing to ruin the relationship at that very particular moment because I was $5 short of cash. Wealth is our main competitor with God. Achan was willing to trade his relationship with God and betray the nation of Israel for a robe and some silver of Babylon. Even after everything he saw God can do. The funny thing about this whole thing is that he actually hid the treasure from God as though, like, God would never find out. And I can go on a tangent about this, how we can't hide our sins from God and God knows everything and he sees everything. We can't really hide anything from God. I can go on a tangent about that on that sermon, but that's not what we're going to do today. What the point here is everything in this world belongs to God. He knows everything and sees everything. He is not to be disobeyed without consequences. The point here for Achan is that everything in this world belongs to God. He knows everything, he sees everything, and he is so holy that he will not be disobeyed without consequences. Because his lust for wealth, his coveting, cost him his family. And you know, I read through this, and you would probably think the same way. Why would they stone his whole family? Like, why was such harsh judgment? The answer is, I don't know. But I'm sure God will work it out. But I know sin is ugly, and it's real, and God's punishment is real. His holiness is real. And here's your aha moment. And every time we go through the scripture, you should have these aha moments. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 27. And Jesus started on his way. And a young man came to Jesus and says, good teacher, good teacher. And Jesus says, why are you calling me good? Only God is good. And the young man proceeded to go and said, how do I inherit the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus simply answered the question of, you know the law, like love the Lord your God with all your hearts, all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbors yourself. And the young man says, I've been keeping, that's easy. I've been keeping all that since I was a little boy. I know that rule. I know that. I've been going to synagogue. I've been going to church. I've been going to all these events already. I've been doing it my entire lives. Verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus knows the shortcomings of this guy's life and loved him. The same way we can't really hide anything from God, and he knows. He knows what you make. He knows what you spend on. He knows what you've done. And he looks at you every single Sunday, and he loves you. He looked at him and he loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at these words. But Jesus says again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But not with God. All things are possible with God. This was a decent man. This was a wealthy man. This is a man that goes to church. This is a man that loves his family. This is a man that takes care of things. He pays the bills. He put food on the table. He's a real estate man. He buys a lot of real estate. Which, by the way, I know the housing market right now is crazy, huh? Looking back 10 years ago, I wish I would have bought more real estate. I didn't, but that's okay. But this guy, a smart man, a man who knows how to make investments, a man who knows how to save, a man who knows the Torah, a man who knows God. My point, why do I keep pointing that out? He's not a horrible man. He's not a drunk. He's not a murderer. He's none of that. This is a manly man, a good man. That's why he called Jesus good teacher. Because he's putting himself in the same category. He's like, Jesus, I can see us being okay. Because I follow the things that you've been following as well. Good teacher. And God and Jesus looked at him and loved him. The only problem that he had was he trusted God with his eternity. He trusted the Torah to love the Lord your God with all your hearts, with all your mind, with all your soul. He goes to the temple. He takes care of his family. He's done all the right thing. He trusted God with everything that he had, but he never trusted God with his wealth. He trusted God with his eternity, but he never trusted God with his wealth. A preacher, Andy Stanley in Georgia, big church, North Point, he says this in his sermon. He says, You know, oftentimes we do the same thing. That we trust God with our eternity, don't we? We come to Jesus, we say, God saves me, we pray. You know, we offer baptisms and people come forward to get baptized. We you know, churches offer prayer forgiveness and people will come forward and get prayer forgiveness. We offer church services and people will come. We offer all these retreats. We offer all these classes. We offer all these not self-help, but deeper study in the scripture, and people will show up and study and read and pray together. We do all the churchy stuff. So we trust God with all eternity. But when it comes to wealth, man kind of take a step back and say, whoa, God doesn't need my money. Why are you asking for my money? We trust God with all eternity, but we can't trust him with our wealth. The problem here is not how much we have, or how much we have of it. The problem here is not how much we make or how much we're investing. There's nothing wrong with those things. The problem here is, it's God worth more than $5? I'll say that again. The problem here is not how much we have or how much we have of it. Some of you are very shrewd in business. Some of you are high caliber thinkers and you get paid a lot to do what you do. And those things are okay. But don't walk away from here thinking that belongs to you. It actually belongs to God. You trusted God with your eternity already. Are you willing to trust God with your wealth? Is he worth more than $5. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks. We thank you for the opportunity for us to get together to tackle subjects that are somewhat difficult, because as human beings, we tend to think everything belongs to us. God, forgive us where we fall short. Help us to be a generous individual, a generous church, and a generous generation. Because everything we have belongs to you. God, we love you. In the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Ben, come forward. If you have any decisions to make this morning, if you need prayers at all, our elder is going to be up here. If you've never been a Christian, you've never been baptized, you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, will you turn everything over to him? This could be your time. I'll be here waiting for you. We have a baptistry right behind me. An invitation is open every Sunday for you to come to Jesus. If that's you this morning, I invite you to come forward through this song. And our elders will be up here to pray for you as well if you need any prayers at all. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks. If there's someone in this audience, give them the courage, give them the strength to hand over to you their life, their soul. Because you send your son to die on the cross for our sins. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.